Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, May 7th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter A Vision for You. We're going to be on page 155 today, reading and unpacking paragraph 3. And that begins with being intrigued, however, and then finishes at the top of page 156 with God might give him mastery. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Laura R., the 12 traditions, Robin P., the reading the text today in support is Ellen D. and Brandy M., and then further on in the meeting, we're going to be able to be greeted by Christina K. for the newcomers and sponsors, and Leslie M. for announcements, which will wrap up the meeting today. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 14573, 14,573 for Wednesday, May 6, 2020. And then this morning, we had a meeting already. That would be the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. That share ID number is 14580, 14,580 for that one. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to please read those 12 steps.
Thank you, Melanie.
Laura R.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I talked over you.
Okay. It's okay. Good morning, everybody. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. I will now ask Robin P. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Take note, please, this is a star 1 key function only that we're requesting that you use here. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're on page 155, unpacking paragraph 3. Begins with, being intrigued, however, and then ends at the top of 156 with, God might give him mastery. And I will ask Ellen D. to read to get us started by reading that particular paragraph and unpacking it for the directions with her 3-minute share. Good morning, Ellen.
Hi, this is Ellen D., gratefully recovered in Texas. Being intrigued, however, he invited our friend to his home. Sometime later, and just as he thought he was getting control of his liquor situation, he went on a roaring bender. For him, this was the spree that ended all sprees. He saw that he would have to face his problems squarely, that God might give him mastery. I think it's so interesting, you know, getting control. He thought he was getting control, and then he went on a roaring bender. And although I never went on a roaring bender after I found OA, my first experience was, although there was a lot of love and acceptance, I got the message, maybe that's not what they were saying, but I got the message that going to meetings and tools and slogans was going to be enough. And so I would be abstinent for weeks or months, and then I would break my abstinence, and I would be like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? I know I shouldn't be doing this. I just didn't know. And, you know, now that I read this book, now that I worked through these steps and actually read, I know that I lost the power of choice, that I am without defense, and that my willpower was non-existent. You know, and then, like, I saw that I couldn't do it. And so I'm grateful for those times when I was in OA, but just, like, not knowing what I was doing wrong. And I was listening to this meeting while I was going to face-to-face meetings, and I finally realized several months later, wow, I'm really hearing two different messages. And I got to the point where I was desperate enough to get a recovered sponsor from this phone meeting. And it changed everything. It just really did. And I saw that I would have to face my problems squarely, that God would give me mastery. And it reminds me of the first paragraph in this chapter where it said, one more attempt and one more failure. I had several attempts and several failures in the few months when I had found OA before I got a recovered sponsor and started actually working the steps from this book. And, you know, it helped cement for me and fully concede that I couldn't do it, that I needed spiritual power, that something was truly missing. Nothing in my human aid was going to make it work. And for that, I'm really grateful. When I worked the steps, God did help me and gratefully recovered. And it just seems like a miracle that my head is not full of insanity about food all the time. And I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ellen D. Now it comes to the time for others to comment on paragraph 3, page 155 today. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So you haven't shared on Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this last week or so. We would ask that you wait, you know, to share and let somebody else share. Otherwise, everybody can step up. Press star one, please. I'll take your first name and the first initial of your last name.
Mary G.
Mary G.
Ida A.
Ida M.
Ida A.
Kayla T.
Somebody M just before you, Kayla.
Brandy.
You said Randy?
Brandy.
Brandy. Well, that's silly of me. Okay, after Kayla T. Anybody else?
Becca R.
Becca R. Okay, in the interest of time, a burn in here. I'm going to go with this particular lineup. Mary G., Ida A., Brandy M., Kayla T., and Becca R. You're up first for your 3 minutes, Mary G., starting now.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you for your service. And this is Mary G. in Arizona. And it's good to be back listening to the live meetings. I haven't been on for, gosh, it's been a long time. And I really appreciated this paragraph because of the last line, actually, that, you know, he would have to face his problems squarely, that God might give him mastery. I have been working recently with a personal issue of what people think about me and, you know, worrying about how people feel. And, you know, by not facing it, I was only giving myself more and more turmoil. And when I finally did face it, it's again, it just shows me over and over again how much peace and serenity I can have if I work these steps honestly. And fear and dishonesty just cannot live side and side of my life anymore. You know, I know that, you know, further on in the story here, it's you know, he was, I mean, in the last paragraph, it tells us that, you know, he was afraid of what people would think. And that is so much a part of my character defects. You know, I have such a need for people to like me, or I used to anyway, but I'm finding it still coming up. And, you know, when I deal with that and when I do what my higher power is telling me to do or what I am feeling is right, it just feels so much better. And, you know, it's always amazing to me that I have to go through that struggle again. But again, it's one of those learning experiences. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Okay, after Mary G comes Ida A, and then after Ida, Brandy M, you'll be up. Ida, your 3 minutes are starting right now.
Oh, thanks so much, Melanie. And thank you all for being here. I just love these meetings. And I'm still finding my grounding with this COVID-19, so bless you all for being here. I had a grateful compulsive overeater in Northern British Columbia, and I've been giggling the last week because I realize I really haven't read A Vision for You. In my head, I had read it all, but clearly I haven't because nothing's underlined, and I like my colors, and nothing's in color. And so what I've realized in the past few weeks, maybe week, is that, gosh, am I like every paragraph? And I love trying to go, okay, slow it down, Ida, lean in, and how am I like Bob here? And, yeah, just as I thought I was getting control of my compulsive overeating, I went on massive binges, 10,000-calorie binges, absolutely. I have such a history, and it's a good thing I didn't journal during all those times. And thank God I don't have to be there now because, thanks to all of you in fellowship, I learned how to face my problems. I learned how to go, wow, I am so powerless. I sometimes get it wrong, but life is unmanageable and I am powerless and I am the problem. I didn't know that for so long. I just didn't know it, that I am the problem and that the Creator is the solution. And it's okay that I haven't read a vision for you, because I'm jumping on board and I'm going to read it, and I'm willing, and I can be patient, and some days are better than others. But with the food down and a fellowship that loves me and accepts me, wow, all is possible. So any of you out there still eating, and I know a lot of people that have gone back out, this program really works. We are all Bobs. We are all Bills. And I might not have gotten along with them if I knew them in person at the time. And the truth is, that's my character defect. I have lots of character defects. But every day I suit up and show up with my plan of eating in place, I can see my powerlessness. I can ask the Creator to help me grow in grace, no matter what adversity is going on. And I have blessed days. And thank you. Bless you all for being here. I pass.
Thank you very much, Ida A. Brandy M., you're up next for three, and then Kayla T. will follow you.
Hi, it's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater in Alberta, Canada. Melanie, if you can time me, that'd be great. So it's funny because I was always intrigued by, you know, how people were doing what they were doing, how they were keeping the food down. I thought, you know, if I got the right sponsor, and I did get great sponsors, like, you know, in my sick mind, celebrity sponsors I got, and, you know, nothing that they could say or do was going to help me be able to put down the food. You know, that was a total God thing. And I always thought something was wrong with me, that I couldn't get this, but everyone else could, because I would, you know, try and control. And I think that that was always my problem, is that, you know, I thought that this was something I could control. I thought that, you know, I always hung on to someday, somehow, I was going to be able to control my eating. And, you know, that was the furthest thing from the truth. I wasn't able to do that. And in fact, you know, all my trying to control it did was make it worse. And, you know, I don't know what brought me to the last, you know, binge or whatever it was. You know, with alcohol, there's one big binge. With me, there was, you know, every morning I would try and get up and, you know, say, control, you know, God, help me control this, help me stay abstinent. And, you know, then I was off and running every day. And so I think what happened for me was that finally I hit the gift of desperation, and, you know, no human power could have given me that. It had to be God, and God has my solution today. And, you know, it had to get really, really bad in order for me to hit that bottom. And, you know, when I hear people say, well, raise your bottom, or, you know, it's not up to me to raise my bottom. It's up to God to show me what my bottom was and is. And, you know, and so at the end of the day, it's like, today, the only way I can stay clean and sober is to depend on that higher power. And, you know, I used to be so people-centered, and I wanted people to fix this. And if I only had the right words or the right, you know, but, you know, food was my master. And now it's like, God needs to be my master or the food. There's no in between. No person's going to be able to do this for me. And so, yeah, with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Brandy M. Kayla T., you're next, and then Becca R., and then we'll get set up to be able to offer more opportunity for others to share.
Hi, my name is Kayla T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Actually, I get to come on these meetings almost every single day, and I, you know, especially since this quarantine thing, and I haven't really spoke up very much lately, but, you know, I have some personal things going on, and I just felt like, you know, what is my solution? What has always been the place that makes me feel, like, great, and it's been coming to meetings, you know? And so I just really wanted to touch base, and I can share a little bit on the paragraph, you know, that what it's calling to my, to the forefront of my mind today is, you know, yes, I did do the sprees and the back and forth and all that until I had the surrender. And took the steps with a wonderful sponsor, but what's coming to the forefront of my mind is how, you know, I do this with different behaviors in my life. You know, I can say in the last few weeks, I've been really kind of navigating through, I'm trying to buy a house, navigating through that, but really trying to force my will, you know, and I come to the conclusion yesterday that, you know, and that, for me, that's that behavior. This is the spree of that behavior of ending all sprees. Like, I had to like get knocked on my butt yesterday and go, oh my gosh, you know, it wasn't until I hit my head on that wall that I was able to hit that surrender. And I liked what the last speaker talked about, gal that shared that, you know, we can't force our bottom. We cannot force our surrender. As much as my heart, my gut, and I'm willing and I want it, I can't force it to happen. You know, I have to go through these things. And the last line was really what caught me was, he saw that he would have to face his problem squarely, that God might give him mastery. When I'm finally defeated, when I'm finally on my butt, I've hit my head against that wall so many times. It's like, it's getting less, you know, over the time of being in program. Like, it's not as, I don't have to hit my head so many times before I go, okay, God, you know, and I hear, you know, what is that intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision, you know, and I'm actually paying attention to it kind of thing. It doesn't have to be so painful, but nevertheless, it is still a painful experience when I try to go on these benders of behaviors, you know. It's disgusting inside of me. It makes me feel very sad and sick and lonely. So I'm just really grateful for, so grateful for this meeting today, because I knew that going to bed last night, you know, that I had something to look forward to in the morning. But, you know, hearing your guys' shares and being able to be on
time,
these meetings with you, I know God's in control. So that's it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kayla T. Up next is going to be Becca R. But right after Becca, y'all, I want to let you know that we're going to open it up for others to comment on paragraph 3, page 155 in the chapter Vision for You. So you might want to get ready. And in the meantime, we've got 3 minutes with Becca R.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater in Kentucky. And what I heard in this paragraph was just a tremendous amount of hope. You know, for so long when I started floating around the program of Overeaters Anonymous, and that's the best way to describe it because I wasn't working the program. But, you know, I wasn't willing to come all the way in and sit all the way down. I just wanted to lose the weight and lose this crazy thinking. But I wasn't willing to do the work. And it took every bite, every time, every day I'd say, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to end this day like that again. And, you know, every evening I would end up in the food. Night eating was big for me. And then I began to think I was terminally unique. Well, you know, maybe I'm one of the ones that they talk about and how it works. Maybe I just don't have the mental capacity to do this thing. And what I'm hearing is that, you know, Dr. Bob and Bill had that experience, you know. And this last line really stuck out to me. He saw that he would have to face his problems squarely, that God might give him mastery. And I think for me, that sums up the self-will piece. Any lurking notion that I was going to be able to fix me had to be gone before I was willing to accept the spiritual help of the 12 steps. And I'm so grateful to be here with you guys. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Becca R. The lines are now open for additional comments. If you have shared in the last 3 days, we ask that you step back and give others an opportunity to be able to share today. We do value your experience, strength, and hope, but we do have, I just noticed, over 216 people on this line. So if you're ready to share and you haven't in the last 3 days, I'd love to take your first name and the first initial of your last name.
Hi, it's Laura H.
Hi, Laura H.
Erica T.
What page is the big book?
Erica T.
Okay, let's see. We're on page 155, paragraph 3.
Is that restriction on all the meetings or just on this particular meeting?
What restriction are you speaking of?
Not speaking for 3 days.
All the meetings. It would be the 7 a.m. and the full 7 a.m., which is the two-hour meeting, which includes the second hour, including those
right.
that have shared as a sponsor. That would include if you shared for that particular piece, too, while we're at it. And then the 10 a.m. meeting. Yeah. We have
right. okay,
500 people on that first meeting.
I get it. I get it. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Okay. Those kinds of questions, perhaps we could wait and ask those afterwards, maybe call the moderator or something later, because we want to make sure that we don't steal any more time that people are wanting to share. Time is really precious on this particular hour. So thank you. Thank you for that consideration. So far I have Laura H., Erica T., and who else do I have?
Stephanie N.
Stephanie N. Anybody else like to comment on paragraph
155?
Mary Lee R. A little muffled there, Mary Lee, but I think we'll probably get you figured out when we get you up here. Okay, so in the interest of not burning any more time, I have Laura H., Erica T., Stephanie N., and Mary Lee R., and if you need to ask for the page number, give me a text, and I can answer you through the text. Okay, all the rest, let's go with Laura H. Thanks so much.
Hi, it's Laura H. Thanks for your service. I've been in OA a very long time, and for me, I find that I have to re-up, you know, as not only a food addict, but a drug addict as well in recovery for a very long time. I have this notion that And you know, maybe nobody else can relate, that somehow I'm going to be one and done, you know, that I'm going to go through the steps and then I'm never going to have to resurrender. I'm never going to have to work on the program again. I'm going to be cured. And as a sponsor once told me, can you show me in the literature where it says that we're cured? I'm not cured. I get to experience freedom from active addiction. I get to experience, you know, recovery from that seemingly hopeless state of body and mind. But I have a chronic illness, you know, called compulsive overeating, and I have to keep working this program. So it was very easy for me at times in my years, in a way, to sit back and say, well, I haven't hit a bottom on that one yet. You know, regarding a food or a food behavior or a defective character, and sit back and wait for God to do the work to have the acceptance that I needed to work this program. I'm not timing myself, so please, someone tell me when to stop. So you know what? I have to acknowledge honestly that I'm at a bottom. You know, really look at how am I behaving? What does the unmanageability in my life look like today? And really say, okay, it's time to roll up your sleeves, work some acceptance, and say you're at a bottom. Maybe you need to stop digging. So thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Laura H. and Erica T., you're next. And just being mindful of with singleness of purpose, we identify as compulsive overeaters only. Thanks so much. It's your turn, Erica T.
Hi, I'm Erica T. in Northern California. I'm grateful to be here this morning. This is such a great paragraph. You know, before I came to OA, I would have called myself a very spiritual person, and I would have said that, you know, I understood that God was really the one in control of my life and that I was living a spiritual life. And what my compulsive overeating has shown me is that has really shown me how to turn over my life at a deeper level, and I'm so grateful for that. The second sentence, sometime later, and just as he thought he was getting control of his liquor situation. And that is really what brought me to OA. You know, I had found a diet program, I'd lost a significant amount of weight, and I thought, oh, I finally got control of this weight situation. And then, and then I went on a binge, and then another binge. And I was like, what is wrong with me? What is it going to take? I got what I wanted. I lost the weight, and why am I doing this to myself? And thank God for me, that was my bottom. That's what brought me to OA. That's what convinced me that I had to work the steps. But even once I got into OA, I struggled for the first year. It was really coming to this meeting and reading the big book and my assignment for you. And so that was what really worked for me, because when I read this book, you can really see the foundation of the program. And I, that's what really got me connected with that idea and completely convinced that this is a spiritual solution and I need to really dig into that spiritual solution if I'm going to maintain an abstinent lifestyle and maintain a spiritual life. And for me, that's what I've always wanted. I've heard people on this line and at meetings, you know, say that this disease is really about me seeking a connection with my higher power. And that feels very true for me. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Erica T. We now have Stephanie N., and then we'll follow with Mary Lee R., and then we'll see what kind of time we have left. Stephanie, I want to press star one real quick.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can. Hey, good morning.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, this is Stephanie N., recovered in Kansas. The line that stuck out to me also was that he saw that he would have to face his problem squarely, that God might give him mastery. And before coming to, before getting a recovered sponsor, I thought that getting mastery over my disease meant that I could eat like my sister and eat like my friends and these people that could eat whatever they wanted and then stop. And I thought that that was mastery over the food. And that's what I wanted. And looking at my problem squarely now is seeing that I am not like my sister, and that's okay. And that I have an allergy to these foods. And that the mastery that God has given me is the freedom, the mental freedom, that I don't have to obsess over that food anymore, and that I don't desire to eat like my sister or my friends anymore, that I am happy and I am content following my food plan for today. And that is a miracle that God has done that for me, that I am able to follow my abstinent food plan, and I'm grateful that I don't live with the mental obsession and that I can eat these abstinent foods and be satisfied and move on with my day and be useful to the people that God has placed in my life to be of service to, and that I'm grateful to be of service. I never thought that I would be grateful for any of these things, and the ones, you know, God gave me that through a spiritual awakening. God gave me the ability to see myself clearly, and that I have an eating disorder and that I will never be cured, that I will have a daily reprieve with the help of a higher power one day at a time. And, you know, that is mastery. That is a gift. And that I don't need to try to control these things anymore. And I don't need to test, you know, am I cured now? Can I eat these things? Can I be like the other people in my life and eat like them? You know, God has taken that away from me through my spiritual awakening, that I don't have to test those theories anymore. I'm really grateful for that, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stephanie N. Mary Lee R., it's your turn for 3 minutes, and then it looks like we'll have time for three additional shares beyond Mary Lee.
Good morning, Miss Melanie and everyone. This is Mary Lee R. and Eugene, Oregon, compulsive overeater in recovery just for today. I want to give thanks for the allowing more people to come on the line and share their experience, strength, and hope. I do pretty well one-on-one and in meetings, but for some reason, the phone just, I don't know. But I do know that, you know, we're still standing on the shoulders of giants, and sometimes my recovery, when I look back at it, looks like a merry-go-round. You know, I'm on and then I'm off, and it's been a learning opportunity, and I'm really grateful. I'm grateful that sometimes I forget, and I need the program to be reminded. And I love this part of reading about Dr. Bob and how he thought no one knew, and yet everyone did. And it's been the same in my journey. And I'm just grateful that together we can, and that I am willing to do the discipline and commit to my sponsor on a daily basis. And when I want to make changes, I need to commit first, because I remember one of Ruth's talks, the SUD, suddenly unimportant decision, comes into my life. And I'm also grateful for the pause and the ponder and being able to pray, and that I have a higher power. And I'm walking the path with all of you. And that's about all I want to say this morning. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Linda. Linda, for goodness sakes. I was talking about that just a moment ago, but Mary Lee R is where my tongue needed to go. Thank you so much. Okay, so looks like we have time for three additional comments on paragraph 3, page 155 in your big book. Who'd like to share?
Mary M.
I hear Linda. What's the first time I show of your last name, Linda?
P.
Gotcha. Did I hear Sherry? Okay, great. Thanks.
Yes, Sherry M.
Okay. Anybody else? I can take one more, I believe. Let's take Linda first and then Sherry M and see what happens with time. Hi, Linda. You're 3 minutes.
Hi, thank you. This is Linda P. from New York City, a compulsive overeater recovery. And this was really amazing. I had no idea. Actually, I'm sorry. I think I'm on speaker and I'm going to get that. Okay.
Thank you.
It was really amazing to me that I did not know that Bob went out after talking to Bill. That I just never read that, or it didn't register with me somehow. And as I'm reading the 12th step right now, it's kind of an amazing 12th step call. Like, he had enough to know after he, you know, he had went out, he thought he was in control, he had to go through it again, and then he was willing and ready. But had Bill not, you know, probably had such a great 12-step call with him, that might not have happened. He was open and he heard the message, you know, and I just thought that was pretty interesting. And he had gotten a message also about God, you know. So I don't know. That just struck me today, and just the amazing, I don't know, kind of miracle of it all, and that maybe higher power even knew that Bob had to go out one more time and just kind of fall on his face yet again before he could really be willing to give up that last thing, you know, his business and his, embarrassment about that. So anyways, that's what struck me today. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Linda P. Sherry M., you're up now. Want to press star one, please? Sherry M., a real quick star one, please. That will unmute you.
I apologize for that. Good morning. This is Sherry M., recovered compulsive overeater in California. I'm very grateful to be sharing on the line this morning. I find it daunting. also to share on the phone meeting, but I'm going to head and stick my toe in there and try to share some experience, strength, and hope. I really love this paragraph so much, and you know, when I stumbled upon these vision meetings, I was intrigued. I was intrigued when I thought my problem was sugar, and I was abstaining, and I thought I was, you know, doing a good job here in Overeaters Anonymous, abstaining from sugar. And then somebody here in Vision challenged me and said, have you ever eaten a bag of sugar? And I had to relook at everything. Like, everything I thought I knew had to be turned to the side so I could have an open mind and a new experience. I have never been recovered until I found a Vision, and now I am neutral and free from food after being in Overeaters Anonymous for over 16 years. Oh, the bender to end all benders, you know, for me, it was a, you know, I was desperate 16 years ago, coming in suicidal, six sizes heavier, not able to stop going through fast food restaurants and going through every aisle in the grocery store and finding all my binge foods, shedding the drapes and eating it all and passing out, coming to, eating more with my hands like an animal. But my problem, which was more subtle, was the maintenance and being an Overeaters Anonymous and not hearing the recovery and hearing that it was okay to eat. Just keep coming back. It's okay to eat. You love yourself through it. And I was killing myself. So what I hear here, which is different, is that no, honey, no, sweetheart, no matter how many times you work the steps, you're never going to be free until you put the food all the way down. And then you work the steps as outlined in the book. And we do it quickly here. We do it, you know, I did it in 3 months. It's a quick process, but there's freedom and joy on the other side. So I don't know why I just got emotional, except for my life is saved today, and there's so much hope here. And I love these meetings so much, and I listen to them every day. And everyone who shares on these lines and who made this possible is just saving lives. And I'm so grateful. My heart is full. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Sherry M. There's time for one more person to share on paragraph 3, page 155 in your big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Who would like to take that spot?
Juanice,
there you go. It's yours. Juanice N.
Hi, my name is Juanice Ann in Southern California, and thank you for the opportunity. I love seeing this so clearly that I've never seen it so clearly before this way, and after going through the big book many, many times. But because I didn't realize either that Dr. Bob had went out after his meeting with Bill, but to me it seems like he had made his way through all the steps through step 8. And then when it got to making the amends in step 9 and coming clean to the people at his work and stuff where he could lose his business and all that, he said, I'm not willing to do that. I'm just not willing to I'll do all of the rest of the stuff, the inventory, the step 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, remove my defect. But I'm not willing to take a chance with step 9 and make those amends and come clean up to these people about this stuff that I've done. And so it just makes it so clear. And he went out. And it just makes it so clear that all of the steps are, you know, we have to be willing to go to any lengths to get it, no matter what might be the circumstance or situation. And then, too, he was holding on to fear. It was fear. And because he was afraid. And so he had to just let go of that fear and just do it anyway and trust that God was going to have his back, you know, after he thought he was throwing away everything that he was living on. So anyway, it's just so good to just see it so clearly that how he had that courage to walk through it. No, even though he thought he could lose everything, it didn't matter. I'd rather lose everything than to stay, you know, than to keep myself from recovering. So anyway, that's all for me. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Juanice. Juanice N. Oh my goodness, we have time for someone else, one more someone else, to comment on paragraph 3, page 155, chapter of vision for you. Who would like to take that? We're just squeezing every nickel out of here. Press star 1 to unmute. Not today, huh? Okay. Well, that will give us more time, Christina, to gather more newcomers. I'm hearing someone.
This is Leslie. Could I share?
Yeah. Why don't you take 3 minutes on that paragraph?
Okay, great. Thanks. This is Leslie Wood, Leslie W., and I'm in Alaska. And I have been listening to these meetings for months and months and really struck by the depth of recovery in these meetings and really appreciate them in my life. Have very small meetings here in my town. And I have been entirely abstinent for a few months and have been experiencing that neutrality with food, and that's just a miracle in my life. My bottom was more emotional than physical, but it just is, you know, having to work the steps and getting a God in my life that is been the challenge, because I want to control it I want to control all of it. So it's just, you know, a new way to look at things when I listen to these meetings and read the book and hear you all share, and I really appreciate that. Appreciate that you're here every morning and I can listen to you and I can be compelled to speak. And I'm just really glad I did. So thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Leslie W. Nudge, 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 right? Well, let's take that as the last share today so that we can maybe add more time to greeting newcomers today. Hopefully you're ready for that and get some more sponsor contact information. It seems like we have to cut that list a little bit short. Thank you, everyone, for sharing today. The new voices have been tremendous. Thank you for Team Thursday for the month of May that we're going to be able to work together on the workforce. I'm just so blessed with that. Laura R., Robin P., Ellen D., Brandy M., Kim T., Christina K., and Leslie M. Grateful for that. So let's get ready to wrap up the recorded part of the meeting today by having Brandy M. read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then after that, we will have an opportunity to say the Serenity Prayer. If you want to say it together, we'll ask you to press star 1. Brandy, would you please read page 164 for us?
Sure. Can I be heard?
Yeah.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to us more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you have not got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for us and for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you safe until then.